You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Reggie Jackson is a U.S. Navy veteran and internationally renowned expert on race relations. The 2021 winner of the Carter G. Woodson Memorial Award from the National Education Association and the Association for the Study of African American Life and History has conducted seminars at over a dozen college campuses around the state of Wisconsin while traveling to over 50 communities, conducting lectures, workshops, and facilitating dialogue sessions on American history. He is the winner of over 20 awards for his work as a journalist and activist supporting closer race relations within multiple communities throughout the state, and has served as head griot, oral historian at America's Black Holocaust Museum for two decades. Reggie is the protege of the museum's founder, Dr. James Cameron, and the author of the forthcoming book, Midwest Nice Apartheid, The History and the Harms of Segregation in Milwaukee. Reggie's approach to U.S. history is what he calls parallel journeys in history, and on and on and on. So welcome back to my good friend, Mr. Reggie Jackson. Hey, Reggie, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Earl. Thanks. Good to be back.
You know, man, I was, you know, as I was preparing for the show this morning, I couldn't help but see Speaker of the House for the Democrats. Why am I forgetting his name? It'll come to me. But anyway, check that out for me, Crotty, because
we'll do doing it right now.
Yeah, and so he was talking about the fact that the Republicans and
was there Mike Johnson?
No, for the Democrats.
Sorry about that.
And so he was Hakeem Jeffries. Thank you very much, Hakeem Jeffries. And he was talking about the fact that they've eliminated those books, you know, that had to do with Harriet Tubman and others in the military library. And he also stated that they didn't do away with the Hitler books. And you just wonder, how is it possible that in broad daylight, these things that just keep happening, that take away the history of our sojourn, people of color in this country, affirmative action, you know, all of these other things that people fought for, and we act like what happened in this country didn't happen. you can't take it away, man. You can take away the books, but you can't take away the truth of the facts, man. And so all these people who jumped on board with Donald Trump and Republicans and DEI and all of this foolishness, what's happening with race relations in this country right now, man, from a man who is without question qualified to have the discussion?
For Earl, from my perspective, this is just simply business as usual. There's nothing unusual about what's going on. It's just that we've turned a blind eye to it for most of American history. And, you know, we're in a space now where people are having these conversations because different voices are part of the conversation than it had been for a long period of time. And that's the big difference, is that for years, nobody wanted to listen to the voices of, you know, people of color. We weren't invited to the table to have these conversations, but now we're at the table and people don't want to listen. They've never wanted to listen, but now that we're at the table and we speak, well, they have to hear what we have to say. They're not listening, but they're hearing what we're saying, but they're not listening. And that to me is the essence of how racism works in this country, is that it's been a part of the fabric of the nation since day one. You know, a group of people came to the shores of this continent intent on taking whatever it is they wanted, and then utilizing the labor of first Native Americans, free labor of Native Americans, forcing them to be enslaved people. And then when that didn't work out so well, they decided to go to Africa and bring Black people over here to replace the Native Americans that they had enslaved for a very long period of time. And once you do that to people, once you enslave people, Earl, you dehumanize them, you can never treat them like humans again. It's just not possible to ever treat those people like humans again. And so we've seen this constant stream of being dehumanized as Black people in this country. And people wonder why it's still the same way today, because you treated us like we weren't humans from Jump Street. How can you then turn around and say, oh, yeah, we're going to treat you like humans now? They've never done it because they can't, Earl. It's not possible to treat people inhumanely and then to turn around and treat them like humans all of a sudden. It just doesn't work.
So what do you say to people who say that happened a long time ago? We didn't do it.
Oh, well.
Okay, so.
We don't care that you didn't do it, Earl. Yeah.
Why don't you let it go?
Listen, this is my answer all the time. You know, every time we bring up some of the ugly stuff in the past and we talk about it, you want to talk about that was a long time ago. Well, the founding fathers were a long time ago, but white people never get tired of talking about them, Earl. The Constitution, Declaration of Independence was a long time ago. White people never get tired of talking about that. So why can't we talk about stuff that happened a long time ago? And why can't we talk about the legacy of those things still impacting our lives today? That's because people want to act like, oh, you know, I didn't enslave anybody. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter if you did or not. We know you didn't. Slavery ended in 1865. I know nobody on this planet is old enough to have lived in 1865. We're not blaming today's people for what happened a long time ago. We're blaming the people of today and what you continue to do today. We don't care what your ancestors did. We're talking about what people are still doing today, Earl. That's the essence of the conversation.
You know, Reggie, and the reason why you're the right guy to have the conversation, not only because of your credentials, is because you've had this conversation in communities that don't have Black people in them. And so, you know, that's just factual when we're talking about the state of Wisconsin, you know, mm-hmm. One of the most segregated states in the United States. That's not fabricated. That's just factual. And so, and so if people don't want to hear from our perspective, how these ways of mistreatment have impacted and affected our communities and continue to do that. You know, if they don't hear it from you and I right now, they're not going to hear it. There is no other vehicle that is willing to have the discussion in the public from two guys of color whose families and whose communities are impacted by this, and it continues even to this day.
Earl, as I've traveled around the state of Wisconsin, you know, as an adult, I never traveled around the state as a child. We never went anywhere other than, you know, Milwaukee to Chicago and back. I never even went to Madison as a kid. You know how everybody went to Madison to see the Capitol in third or fourth grade. I never made that trip. My school never went to Madison. Never saw any other part of the state other than Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I started to travel a little bit. And doing the work that I do, you know, has allowed me to travel to over 50, close to 60 communities around the state of Wisconsin now. You know, I've been up to Wausau multiple times. I've been to Rhinelander. I've been to Appleton. I've been to Beloit. I've been to Janesville, Platteville, you know, Whitewater, all these places around the state of Wisconsin that I never even thought about before. And there are very few people of color, very few Black people when I go to those places, Earl. And the people that invite me there are white people because those are the people that live there. And you know why they invite me? Because they are interested in our voices, Earl. They're interested in our version of events. They want to know from the perspective of African Americans, you know, how we see the world. They know how they see the world. They want to hear it from a different perspective. And so they invite me time and time again to come to these places and talk to them about the history and my perspective on the history and kind of the current state of affairs. That's what I do because there's a need. There's a great deal of need among white people to hear a different version of events than they've heard their entire lives.
So the operative word you said is history. And yet they're working hard to wipe the history out. And they're attempting, especially with Donald Trump and these groups of Republicans who feel like by wiping out that history, they can somehow do away with the past. But you can never do away with that, man. Right,
they're trying to wipe it out, Earl. All they're doing is covering it up. You can't hide this. There are too many people that know this.
Well, the world knows.
There are far too many people that know this history. You can't erase it. You can't erase it. It's not possible. All they're doing is trying to cover it up from certain people. They don't want white people to know this stuff, Earl. This is what my view is that after George Floyd was murdered, there was a whole bunch of white people around the United States of America that all of a sudden wanted to learn the stories of Black people, wanted to learn the history from our perspective. And they had conversations with their family members, their friends, their neighbors, coworkers, and it really ticked off those other white people who didn't want to hear those things.
855-752-4842. My guest is Mr. Reggie Jackson. You're tuned into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Was plain to see you were my destiny.
With arms open wide, I threw away my pride. I'll sacrifice for you, dedicate my life to you. I'll go where you lead, always there in time of need.
When I lose the will, you will be there to push me up the hill.
There's no looking back for us. We got
all right. Welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. My guess is none other than Mr. Reggie Jackson. And before we go to the phone lines, Reggie, I just want to say, you know, we're talking about race relations in this country. And I think what people really need to understand, man, is one of the reasons why, you know, they wanted to do away with DEI and bury the history in books and all of those different things is because you heard the people who were behind it say it was making white children feel bad. And I will say, as a black man in America for 70 years, who looks at the black children of this nation, American citizens, supposedly, based on the Constitution, equal. So, see, when we talk about the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and all of those things, Reggie, somehow they never measured up to be equal with people of color. Never did. And even to this day, they don't. So in our community, you watch children born into the wealthiest nation on earth who, Reggie, you don't have a snowball's chance in hell. Right? Well, if they get an education, listen, you can have an education and still not get equal opportunity on jobs and loans. All that stuff still exists in 2025, Reggie. And the reason that I think it's important that we have the conversation is it's getting worse because of the people who are in office now. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I completely agree, Earl. You know, but people, when they say, you know, this stuff is making white children feel uncomfortable or, you know, guilty or whatever, like, listen, don't blame us for what their ancestors did. Their ancestors did this. We're just acknowledging what your ancestors did. And we're not allowing you to continue to cover up what your ancestors did. If you feel bad about it, you feel guilty about it, well, you know, so be it. How do you think our children feel sitting in classrooms every day and never learning anything about their own history? How do you think that impacts our students, Earl?
Oh, man.
Children in our community.
Let's do this. Let's go to Stefan from La Crosse. Good morning to you. Thank you very much for the call. You say what? Stefan?
Stefan, you're on air.
Okay. Let's go to JoJo. Good morning to you, JoJo. Hey. You say what?
Yes. Oh, my. So much. Shift happens, you know, and I'm happy to hear of your little demise here. But,
well, so let me say this. I'm going to make an announcement.
Not done yet.
I'm going to make an announcement, you know,
your voice is too critical. Too essential to now. So allow a break. Go see some sunset. Come see these small towns in Wisconsin. You know, but you are just too vital to the airwaves. And you know, I had a great tribute for you last Friday, and I didn't get on. Now my notes are. Well, it's a long story. Anyway. You are a treasure, and people with permanent suntan have a struggle, but you know, through it all, most of you excel, you know, so just keep
JoJo,
being vital.
Listen, I am you know, as I stated, I'll make an announcement soon. But thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. You say what?
Well, I say that if it's offending our yellow, little white children, boo-hoo. I mean, look at the trauma we've caused the Native Americans for centuries. Look at the trauma we've created for the people of color, not only just the black people, but the Chinese people. I mean, we've done this for decades and decades and decades. And I say, boo-hoo, it's time we start learning the history and start dealing with what we've left behind.
You know, Cindy, it's American history. It's not black history. It's American history. Native American history is American history. All of these different aspects of history is not just, you know, European history. There's a whole world of people other than European people. Reggie, you're a historian.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, unfortunately, in this country, we have, you know, displaced the stories of people of color in our history classes. We don't learn about anybody other than white people for the most part in our history classes. And you know, now that we're in a space where people are beginning to hear those stories for the first time in their lives, it's messing their heads up, Earl, because it's displacing the myth of America that has existed in their heads. You know, this land of freedom and justice and liberty for all is being blown up because it doesn't look like freedom, justice, and liberty for all when you study American history from the perspective of people of color. It doesn't look the same. And so that's part of the reason that they're pushing back against it. Part of the reason they're trying to kill it is because they want the myth to continue. And people of color are like, no, that's not how it happened. You know, Native Americans have pushed back against it. African Americans pushed back against it. You know, Asians from Korea, from China, from Japan, from the Philippines have all pushed back against this typical white version of history. Whitewashed version of history is literally what it's been.
All right, 855-752-4842. Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Reggie Jackson is my guest. And you know, let me do this. Let me go to the phone lines quickly. Whistler from Richland Center. Good morning to you, sir. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. I'm a 73-year-old man, grew up in a small town called Spring Green. I was in the service in the early 70s. And that was my first real experience with people of
color.
Other races.
Right.
Of color, yes. And I'll tell you what, I've never met more nicer people than when I was in the service. And I'll tell you what, you know, God loves all of us. And, you know, I don't have a bad bone in my body against anyone. And people are people. We all bleed the same color. And, you know, I listen to your show. I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it. And, you know, all I could do is offer you kudos, man. You're the best.
Hey, Wizard, thank you very much. Because in the end, you said it was the military that opened your eyes.
Yeah.
And... And so, you know, people don't know if you don't know and you haven't been around people other than the people in your community, and your community is all of, you know, one hue, then you can never know, you know, that as you stated, people are people, man, and everybody's just trying to get along in this society and in this, and actually in this life, man, the life is so short. I just have never been able to understand why, when life is as short as it is, we allow these barriers that we create to keep us from,
yeah,
you know.
They shouldn't be.
Right.
They shouldn't be.
Hey, Whistler, thank you very much, man. I really appreciate the kind words. Cassandra, you're up next. You say what?
Hi, Earl. I just wanted to jump on really quick. As you know, I am an educator, so this is a really busy time of the year for me. And I am just, I know you didn't wish to speak about this particular topic, but I just want to say how much I have enjoyed your show over the years. I think I have been listening to your show well over 10 years. And although I may not agree with you on everything, you really have provided a service to the community. And you've also made me aware of areas and problems that were going on in especially Milwaukee, because I've never lived in Milwaukee. I'm actually not a native born resident of Wisconsin. So you have, with your show, introduced me to some of the issues of concern to the Black community in Milwaukee. And wherever you land, I'm sure you're going to be successful. And I just wanted to thank you for your service that you have provided over all of these years.
Well, so, you know, Cassandra, I just didn't want, you know, I didn't want to get into this, and now is not a good time because there's another side to this, and it's bigger than you know, me not being on the air. So I don't, you know, I don't want people to jump the gun. There's some other sides to this, and I'll be talking about it in the coming days. And so that's where it is. Well, but thank you. Go ahead, Cassandra. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to extend my thoughts to you personally. That's all I wanted to say. I know you, that you don't wish to talk about it, but it was just a personal message.
And Cassandra, I really truly appreciate it. And so, again, you know, in the coming days, I'll be having some statements to make about some things. But thank you very much. I appreciate it. Tom, you're up next, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. If we come together, there's nothing we can't do. Second, I wish that everyone would also go on YouTube and look up Jane Elliott. Jane Elliott, a white school teacher that did a brown eye, blue eye study, but has done so much. And she shows why it matters today. If people have a hard time taking things from a person that has a little bit more melanin in their skin and they want to hear it directly from a white woman, I really recommend that they go check out Jane Elliott because she's a badass. Also, I went to the Bernie rally this weekend. There were 36,000 people there. And then he had a 20,000 people rally in Red Salt Lake City, Utah yesterday. And today he's going to have one in Red Idaho. So I hope everybody's following either the Midas Touch so they can actually see all these different rallies, since our corporate media will never show, you know, these types of rallies. So they'll show a minute of it. But everyone should do it. And also last, Earl, because we the people are the government. I'm L.A. Tom, but my name is Tom Adler, A-D-L-E-R. And I would recommend, if anybody can, please, let's form a group on Facebook of civic media listeners so we can all even fight the corporate power that may be coming down from the media stations like civic media. We all need to stick together, and we all need to fight anything that comes up, because together in solidarity, we are much stronger than we are alone, and we must get all money out of politics.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Lori, you're up next.
Hi. Well, I didn't realize that things are going to be happening with you, and we need more voices from people of color on the radio. So I hope you're not going away altogether. And no. I know you don't want to talk about it, so I won't.
Okay, go ahead.
But years ago, several years ago, I read the book, Warriors Don't Cry by Melba. I can't remember what her last name is. I have her book around here somewhere, but I can't find it. And it was about the integration, the kids down in Arkansas, I believe, the stuff that they had to put up with. I mean, just not only being bullied by classmates, but by adults, which had to be just frightening. And they were only 15 years old. And by the time I got done reading that book, I thought, you know, how many of these white people who were bullying them would have been able to put up with what they did? And they couldn't say it. These kids couldn't say anything, because then they'd be the ones that would be kicked out of school. Because, well, see, now they're causing a problem. They're fighting, even though they were defending themselves. And that's what these white people who are against DEI and CRT, they don't understand that they've always been heard. And if they had to walk in the shoes of people of color, they couldn't take it. So they're worried about their kids' feelings, that they might feel compassion. Well, they should have had compassion. They should have taught these kids compassion prior to these issues coming out. Well, they've always been out. But that they're worried about feelings when black people, the slaves, the Native Americans, I mean, they were being hung for just looking at somebody the wrong way. They were being whipped. And I mean, James Byrd back in the 90s in Jasper, Texas, dragged behind a truck.
Yes.
And people think that this still doesn't happen, and that they're worried about these kids' feelings. Well, those kids should be feeling a lot, and they should be concerned. I mean, if we're going to feel sorry for the Jews because of Hitler, then why shouldn't we feel sorry for black people and Native people too, for what they had to go through?
You know, Lori, if we had more Loris in the world, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Thank you very much for those very important words. Reggie, you want to respond, man?
Yeah, you know, thank you, Lori. I appreciate those kind words as well. And, you know, my thoughts are that, listen, when we hear people say that, you know, white people are complaining that these things are making their kids uncomfortable, they're not saying it, Earl. These are talking points created by right wingers at places like the Heritage Foundation to put talking points in the mouths of people that come to spaces to talk. People aren't saying this, Earl. As I travel around the state of Wisconsin, I have not heard a single white person tell me that their white children feel uncomfortable hearing this history. I haven't heard it one time in over 20 years of travel around the state. And I doubt that I ever will, Earl, because to me, it's just talking points that the right created to put in the mouths of people to pretend like this is how people feel. No, the average white American doesn't feel this way. There are right wingers at the Heritage Foundation, other, you know, racist foundations like that, that are putting these words in people's mouths and saying these things. People are not saying these things, Earl. These are things that they're being taught to say. I'm not hearing these things in my travels around the state of Wisconsin at all.
You know, Reggie, when we realize we're a quarter of into the 22nd century and still having these conversations about race, man. I mean, that's mind-boggling to me, Reggie. And the fact that it's at the highest level of government, the president of the United States is the guy, you know, who's the face of it and who's pushing it. Right? I mean, what does that say, man? If it would be different if it wasn't the president of the United States who's striking the match.
Yeah. Well, you know, where I look at it, Earl, is, you know, I remember when I was a little boy living in Mississippi, we had fruit trees in our backyard. You know, we had peach trees, we had apple trees. And if we wanted some fruit, we went and got it off the tree. We didn't go to the grocery store, right?
Right.
And so if I wanted a peach, I didn't go to the apple tree to get a peach, Earl. I went to the peach tree. And you know why? Because that's the fruit that particular tree bears.
Yeah.
And so it's in the roots of America to be racist and to be sexist. And so we act like we're surprised that it's that way. It's in the roots. It was there at the beginning. It doesn't go away. It's in the roots of America to be that way, Earl. And so here we are, you know, almost 250 years into this country being, you know, created with the Declaration of Independence, and we're still having the same conversations. You know, W.E.B. Du Bois wrote a book about this, where he talked about, you know, the problem of the 20th century is a problem of color lines.
Right.
I mean, that was two centuries ago, Earl. We're in the 22nd century, literally 1/4 of the way through the 22nd century. And we're still having these conversations because it's in the roots of the tree, Earl. This is the fruit that we will continue to bear as a nation.
855-752-4842 is the number. My guess is the one and only Reggie Jackson, CEO of Reggie Jackson, Inc., on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
At 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us that same number. My guest is none other than Reggie Jackson of Reggie Jackson, Inc. Right back to the phone lines, Eric from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Eric. You say what?
Happy Motown Monday, Earl and Reggie.
All right.
Just like your veteran caller that called earlier, my time in the Navy was definitely a great opportunity for me to overcome some of my racist conditioning that I'd, you know, been taught as a child. It's what happens when, you know, people spend time together. It's humanizing. The permanent suntan comment earlier, that was crazy, whatever. But, you know, Reggie's spot on talking about the white lash that rose up following the summer of 2020. You know, we forget that racism evolves to keep the rest of us from evolving beyond our own conditioning. Using Earl's favorite term, even the Democratic politicksters jumped in to preserve our own status quo. In 2020, late in that year, it put pressure on folks like me to fall back and rejoin the complicit silence that we've lived with really since 1619. And as for Steve calling you a dangerous man, you know, speaking out about the pending crash, Goldman Sachs is talking about it, you know, and if you follow the bond market and see what's going on with the bond market, you can really see how dangerous these times are. But I'm here to say that you're only the messenger, you know, the proverbial canary in the coal mine here. And you notice folks like Steve never call because, like most enablers of fascism, racism, sexism, et cetera, they're really, truly cowardly human beings. And lastly, you know, I feel that people are kind of maybe upset about Civic Media's handling of this. It seems a little clunky what's going on. But I'll just say that your voice will be missed on the radio. I know that you'll be continuing to be a positive presence in Milwaukee. And I look forward to hearing what you're doing next. And I also look forward, for your sake, to you enjoying your morning coffee with your wife more often.
Hey, man. Hey, thank you very much for those words.
I'll leave it.
As I stated, man, I'll have something to say a little bit later on. Hey, Bill, you're up.
Morning, Earl. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I got the answer to neutralize racism, and it's real simple. It doesn't take a lot of thought. It's called humanitarianism. And we as a nation at one time was known as being the most humanitarian country in the world. We have to get back to that. If we get back to humanitarianism, we will neutralize this white racism. It's a fact. And when you neutralize racism and you have humanitarianism, you have one word that we lack so much now, integrity. So, Earl, wherever you go, if there's anything I can do to help your cause, you have my number.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much. Go ahead, Bill. Go ahead.
No, that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Reggie, you want to respond to Bill?
Yeah, thanks for the comments, Bill. I would really love to know when America was humanitarian towards Black people. What year was that? Because I don't remember reading about that in history, Bill, when America was humanitarian towards Black people or Hispanic people, Asian American people, Native American people. What year are you talking about specifically? I don't remember that time.
You know, Reggie, right now, at least 35, 40,000 students in Milwaukee public schools, majority of them people of color, are being exposed to lead every day. Every day, and we know it, right?
Every day.
Every day, we know it, man. And they're people of color, mostly that, people of color, man. How come they don't fix
that? Despite that, Earl, the CDC has refused to help MPS with this lead issue. They literally said we don't have the manpower to do it because of massive cuts to the CDC.
So when we talk about these issues, that would not be happening, Reggie, if it was an all-white school district. I guarantee you. Wouldn't happen.
Listen, you don't have to say it wouldn't happen. All you have to do is look at all of the suburban school districts around Milwaukee. Do any of them have issues with lead?
No.
Tell me one that does. None do.
And not that knowingly children are in those schools every day. Every day, and they know the impact of lead. And yet, it's not prioritized, Reggie, as the most important issue. I don't want to hear about all the rest of it, Reggie. You don't give kids a fair chance, man. It's not their fault.
Yeah, I agree, Earl. And, being a person who worked in these schools as a special ed teacher for 8 years, I know that there were students I worked with that were labeled special ed that I know the classic symptoms of exposure to lead early in life. Yeah. I saw it in my students all the time, Earl. But there was nothing I could do about it. I couldn't say anything about it. We couldn't go and have these kids tested. So I know I saw it. I saw what it did to children. I saw how it put them so far behind that there's no way they're going to ever catch up, Earl.
Hey, Reggie.
And listen, these issues with lead aren't new.
Hey,
They've
Reggie.
Been around for a long time.
I will see you on next Monday. We'll talk again. Really appreciate it. Thank everybody who made
the
show go.
Take care.
Yes, sir. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow with former mayor of the city of Milwaukee, Tom Barrett, in the studio on the Earl Ingram Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.